We're in 1 Corinthians in the 3rd chapter. The opening verses are our text this evening. Let me just read them to you again. 1 Corinthians 3, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? We did bring a message this morning in the Gospel, and we want tonight to bring a message to the hearts of God's people, particularly thinking of our labours in weeks to come. It's always good for us to prepare our hearts, to prepare ourselves when there is a gospel mission to begin. And also thinking of the winter's work, just a few weeks' time, immediately after the conclusion of that mission, we will be right into the winter's work again. All the activities will commence. And it's imperative, brethren and sisters, that all of us find ourselves in the right place with God, walking in fellowship with Him, living a life that the Lord can use and the Lord can bless. And I pray that even through this word tonight, that He might speak to all of your hearts. I want to begin with a question and ask you to consider it well. Consider it carefully and honestly in your own heart tonight before the Lord, mindful that we're in the Lord's house. We're here in His presence. As the scriptures tell us, the Lord seeth the heart. Man looketh on the outward appearance. The Lord looketh on the heart. He can see the very meditations of all our hearts tonight. You consider this question carefully. And the question is, what is your present condition as a Christian, as a child of God? Where are you, to put it another way? Where are you tonight with regard to your walk and with regard to your fellowship with God? You know, whenever we're asked a question like that, it's very easy to look around. It's very easy to look over your shoulder at someone else. We're all very good at looking at and examining and assessing and judging the spiritual condition of others. But what I'd like you to do in the gathering, in the remaining minutes that we have, I want you to turn your eyes, turn your gaze, turn your thoughts away from others, no matter how near they might be to you in this life, and no matter how near they might be to you in this meeting, turn your gaze away from others and examine carefully your own life. Examine carefully your own heart before God. As this book of Corinthians says a little later on in the 11th chapter, let a man examine himself. And you know, if we're honest, brethren and sisters, we'll have enough to do examining and looking at and straightening out our own lives without thinking of the lives of others. And as you do that tonight, as you examine yourself, I want you to ask this question. What spiritual state, what spiritual condition am I personally in at this very moment, on this very day of my life? You see, in these verses that are before us, the verses that we've read from this third chapter, what Paul is doing here is he's examining. He is looking at and he's dealing with the condition of the saints of God in the church at Corinth. And the sad reality, brethren and sisters, is this. This church was in a very low spiritual condition. In fact, this church at Corinth was the least spiritual of all the New Testament churches that we read of in the book of God. And I want to say to you tonight, let us look at the condition of this church. And as we do, I want you to ask yourself this question. Remember, we're looking at our own lives. You ask yourself this question. Do I find myself in the same sad and tragic condition spiritually as these believers were in? The first thing I want you to notice as we look at their condition is this, the identity of their condition. What condition was this Corinthian church in? Well, in the opening words of verse 1, Paul gives his diagnosis. He comes like a spiritual doctor and he diagnoses the problem. He diagnoses the illness, diagnoses the condition right away. And he identifies their condition for us. And this is what he says. I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. The identity of their condition. Couldn't speak to them as spiritual, but as carnal. Paul identifies carnality as being the condition of this Corinthian congregation. What he explains for his brethren and sisters is this. There are basically two states. There are basically only two conditions that any Christian can be identified as being in. A Christian can either be in a spiritual condition or in a carnal condition. And tragically, the Corinthian believers, they were in the undesirable one of those conditions. They were in a condition, they were in a state of carnality. Their lives and their conduct at that particular time was marked and characterized by carnality. Now, whenever we describe someone as being a spiritual Christian, we're referring to a believer whose life, a believer whose motives are yielded to and are controlled by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. But in marked contrast to that, a carnal Christian, well, there's someone who's living for the things of the flesh. They're yielding to and they're primarily under the influence of the world and the flesh and all things that are material. Their affections are set on things below and not on things above. In reality, the carnal Christian, their life is dominated by self, dominated by their own desires, their own lusts, their own fleshly lusts, their own wants. If you notice there the closing words of verse 3, he says, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Or as the margin says, walk according to man. Now just think of that. Here are Christians meeting every week, and they're not walking according to the Spirit of God. They're not walking according to the Word of God, but they're walking according to man. In other words, they were walking and living just like the world, just like those outside the church, just like the ungodly. They were living in the manner in which the world lives, following their example, following their trends, following their influences and their lifestyles. You really couldn't tell the difference between these Christians and the world. Isn't that sad? Someone once put it like this, I sought for the church and I found it in the world. And I sought for the world and I found it in the church. You really couldn't tell the difference between the two. Can I ask you to consider tonight, as you examine your heart and life before God, as you consider in this meeting your present standing before the Lord Himself, your present standing in the Christian life, do you have to identify this as your condition tonight? Is there a carnal Christian or Christians in the meeting? Are you a believer that's under the influence of this world? You have to be described as carnal and worldly. You're dominated by self. If you are my brother or my sister, then let me say to you tonight, don't rest until you dethrone self and the Lord Jesus has once again been enthroned in his rightful place in your heart and in your life. The identity of their condition. Notice he speaks in the second place about the immaturity of their condition. In the closing words of that first verse, you notice what he says, cannot speak unto you, or could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. The immaturity of their condition. Paul faces these Christians with the hard reality, the hard fact, that they were in an immature, in a childish condition. He tells them plainly that they were those who have not grown. They have not matured in the things of God and in the Christian life. Spiritually, these Christians in Corinth, they were just babies, undeveloped believers. Now let me make it clear that some Christians are babies, they're immature in the faith because they've only been saved for a little while, for a short time. And there's nothing wrong with that. But that is not what Paul is speaking about here. Paul was not speaking to those who were new converts. He's addressing those who had been living the Christian life for quite some time, even for a number of years. And despite all of that, all of those years, they were yet still babies. Hadn't grown. Hadn't gone forward. Hadn't developed in the Christian life. Hadn't matured in the things of God. John Phillips, the American Bible teacher, tells of being out for a walk one day in a park with a colleague. As they walked along, they saw a pram approaching. And as you would do, he took a little glance into the pram. The form of the person that was sitting in the pram from a distance looked to be around 4 or 5 years of age. But as the pram passed them by, the one in the pram had the face of someone that was in old age. The man that was with him knew the family and knew the person in the pram. He said, you know, that individual, they're 25 years of age. What a tragedy that is, men and women, when that happens physically. But it's a greater tragedy spiritually. Normally you're a baby just after you're born. But if you're still a baby years after birth, isn't it obvious that something is drastically wrong with your condition? Physically, you would say there's something drastically wrong with your health. And the same is true spiritually. If you're still a baby years later, there's something drastically wrong with your spiritual health. If 10 or 15 years after you have been born again, you still act and still have to be treated like a spiritual baby, then the reality is you haven't developed. You haven't grown. You haven't matured. You may have grown old, but you've never grown up. Does not sum it up well, men and women? And that was the case spiritually at Corinth. They had never grown up spiritually. This church was full of immature, undeveloped believers who years after their conversion were still just children, still just babies in the things of God. And what a sobering lesson there is for us here. The fact of the matter is this: the carnal Christian is an immature Christian. The carnal and worldly believer is one who is not and has not grown spiritually. They're not making progress. They're not pressing on with the Lord to higher ground. The sad thing is they're just dwarfs, pygmies, as far as the things of God is concerned. The question is this, brethren and sisters. The question I want to pose to you this evening is this what you're like tonight? Would this sum you up well, where you are with the Lord? Just an immature Christian? Are you one that has been saved for maybe many years, but you've not developed spiritually? Maybe you're no further forward with God tonight than you were the day that you were converted, all of those years ago. Still a baby in the faith. Wonder, is that true? Do you still have to be treated? Do you still have to be guided? Do you still behave just like a new convert, as if you were just saved maybe last week or last month? If you do, my brother or sister, the reality is this: you should be alarmed at that. The fact that you've grown old in the Christian life, but you've never grown up, you've never gone on. The alarm bells should be sounding if that is your spiritual condition tonight. The immaturity of their condition. Notice in the third place, the indications of their condition. If you look at verse 3, it says, "For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? You think of this question. How did Paul know that these believers were carnal? How was the apostle able to make the diagnosis? How was he able to say so confidently that these saints were dominated by the flesh and spiritually immature? Well, the answer is this. He was able to say those things so confidently because there were clear, there were definite indications of carnality to be found in their lives. The fact is, it was written all over them. Written all over their conduct. It was written all over every meeting that was held in the church. There were obvious marks, obvious symptoms of carnality and immaturity that could be seen in the conduct of this church and in the conduct of these Christians. And Paul lists those indicators for us here. The indicators of carnality and immaturity. He sets them out in this third verse. He speaks there of three indicators in particular. You notice he talks about envy. There were those among these Christians who were envious, resentful of others, envious of the job they had, the possessions they had, the position that they held, who they were associated with. There's an old saying, looking through green tinted glasses. In other words, looking at people with envious eyes. And that's what many of these Christians were doing, even in the church, even among the fellowship of God's people. It was a church that was riddled with envy. You'll see as well that he talks about strife. In other words, there was fighting. There was arguing that was going on among the members of this church. There was a constant state of conflict between God's people. There was the noise of war in the camp. There was contention in the church. There was no peace. There was no harmony that was to be found among God's people. Now remember, Paul was a fighter. He speaks when writing to Timothy about fighting the good fight of faith. But remember, brethren and sisters, there's nothing good. There's nothing right, nothing holy about strife among believers. The third indicator that Paul mentions is division, as an indicator of their sad condition. Here's a congregation that had various cliques and factions and groups that were found within it. It was a congregation that was divided. Notice what he says in verse 4. While one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? So here's a congregation that was split and divided. In other words, there was no unity amongst them. So I want you to see tonight, envy, strife, divisions, all of these faults, all of these sins were to be found in God's people in Corinth. Isn't it a sad state of affairs? But doesn't it sound so familiar when we look out on the land and maybe even look out on our denomination? Isn't it all around us? And the reason, brethren and sisters, that Paul lists these three sins here in this place is because they were the proof. These things were the evidence of the diagnosis that he was making, the things that he was saying to this church about their low spiritual state. Envy, strife, and divisions, they are the unmistakable symptoms, the unmistakable indicators of a fleshly, undeveloped condition among the people of God. Now, of course, it's very easy to sit here tonight, some 2,000 years later, and look at these Corinthians from afar, and to think, wasn't that terrible, the way that they got on, the way they behaved in the church and as God's people. But think of this. Do these sins characterize this church tonight? As we're thinking of meetings to begin and we want the blessing of God, and at times we ask and wonder to ourselves, why is there no blessing? Why does the Lord not come down? Why does he not save souls the way he did in former times? Do these sins characterize this church tonight? That's something we need to face and consider. Are you full of envy? Envious of others? even others around you in the meeting tonight, who they are, what they've done, where they live. Are you a believer who's always falling out with other Christians? You're always in conflict with other believers? Are you a Christian who is splitting the church, splitting it into cliques? That some people are allowed in your little clique and other people, you wouldn't want them near you. Cliques and factions, is that the sort of Christian you are, sowing discord among brethren? If you are brethren and sisters, then here's the sad reality that you have to face with God's word in your hand tonight. The sad reality is you are a carnal, immature child of God. And that's the truth of the matter. You're in exactly the same obnoxious condition that these Corinthian Christians were in. And you cannot deny it, because all the indicators are there, clear, for everyone to see. The envy and the strife and the division in your life, and maybe even in the life of the church, they indicate that fact clearly and unmistakably. The indicators of their condition. There's one other thing, and I'll do this just quickly for you. The indicting of their condition. In the opening words of verse 1, Paul states, let me just read it slowly and carefully, and you take it in as I read it, what he's actually saying. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. What an indictment that is. You imagine, as a minister, having to take a Christian aside and to say that to them. I couldn't talk to you tonight. I couldn't address you. I can't speak to you. I can't look upon you as a spiritual Christian, because you're carnal. That's the mark. That's the characteristic of your life. What an indictment the apostle is making of these Christians. And let me point out, men and women, that Paul in this passage that is before us, in the passage in general, but in these words of this verse 1 in particular, he's indicting and condemning the church at Corinth for their low spiritual state. He's indicting and reproving them severely for their sad and tragic condition. And what we must remember and what we must never forget is that it is God himself who is speaking through the apostle. Remember, the message is recorded in the book of God, all scripture given by inspiration. All scripture God breathed. What Paul said, what he wrote, what he sent in this epistle to the church at Corinth at that time was a message that God himself had given to him. It was God who was speaking through the apostle. It was God that was speaking to the hearts of these believers. It was God, men and women, that was condemning them for their lifestyle. It was God himself that was unhappy with their condition. And brethren and sisters, that is the reality that you must face tonight as well and realize and accept. The reality that if you find yourself in the same condition that these believers were in Corinth, those many years ago, then you have to realize tonight you're in a condition that God is far from happy with. And that should trouble you. That should concern you, men and women. If you have any interest in being right with God, if you have any concern in pleasing God, then that's something that should trouble your heart tonight. You're in a condition that God, through these verses, and remember, these words come to our hearts tonight as fresh as they did to the Corinthian believers. God's word, men and women, just wasn't for those days, it's for today as well. God, through these verses, is reproving you and condemning you for the way that you live and the way that you behave. God is speaking to your heart tonight and challenging you from his word in this meeting. And the challenge is, you need to waken up. And you need to sort out your life so that you can be in the place where God can bless you and use you. You remember those words that Paul wrote to the Ephesians, "Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee life." Remember, those words were written to Christians. Awake thou that sleepest. But that's the condition of many Christians. They're slumbering. That they're not active. They're not busy. They're not labouring. You need to wake up. You need to sort out your life. As Peter exhorted in his epistle, you need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. The indicting. It's one thing to be indicted by men. But what a solemn thing it is to have the indictment of God upon your life, upon your conduct, especially upon your Christian life and your spiritual walk, your walk with Him. As I close, brethren and sisters, tonight, I want to say this to you. Think again of that sobering message at the beginning of verse 1. I, brethren, could not. How that must have pained Paul. How it must have weighed heavily on his heart. I could not, no matter how hard I would want to try. I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. And I want to say this, my final comment to you tonight. May God grant, brethren and sisters, that each of you go on with God in the days ahead to the extent that indictment can never be made of you as a Christian and never be made of your life and the way that you live. May God write this solemn message on your hearts tonight.